Welcome to another Shoujo bonus episode, continuing on our series of watching Jurassic Park. Today, we are watching the third and final in the original dragon? Why did I say dragon? Jurassic Park series. My name is Joe, and I am here with Sarah.
That's me.
Of Shoujo. Say hi. Yeah.
Hi.
This is how the intro goes, because I totally remember how the intro goes on
the
bonus episodes.
I wing it every time. It's fine.
We're here for Jurassic Park 3, Sarah's favorite movie.
Nope. That's
Sarah, tell us
false.
About how much you love this movie.
Okay, so as a child watching this, I was like, yeah, this is fine. Cool, new big dino, whatever. And then you grow a brain, and then you watch it, and you're like, well.
Wow.
This isn't. Many flaws here. What?
Okay,
I know, I'm not as critical as The Lost World as you were, and I'm going to be critical of this, and you're like, this is better than The Lost World?
We're gonna have some diverging opinions here.
Oh, God. Oh, snap.
I feel like.
Oh, no. Am I in the wrong?
I don't know.
Is Jurassic Park
we're
The Lost World not
it.
Good?
Oh, I don't know. God. You know?
you know in your heart what you think. Okay.
So many things could happen.
But yeah, so I'll be doing the recap in Jurassic Park since this is all I know by heart is Jurassic Park. And okay.
Switched roles.
We're recording immediately after we recorded Chihaya Furu, so I'm like,
it's true.
We've already caught up. It's like I don't have
I
anything
feel like
different to say.
Yeah, no, I don't think we need to go. Do we go through like what we did when we do the bonus episodes? I feel like we just go into
remember.
It, you know? We're
okay.
Just like, we're here. We're
that's
like,
we
gonna talk
then.
About dinosaurs.
We're here.
I will say.
Yep.
So, this is the end of the like this original.
Came out in 2001, and Jurassic World came out in 2015, though, for quite some time, the last.
So, it's 14 years difference. Although, like, when did Jurassic Park 2 come out?
1997, so only 4 years after the first one.
4 years?
But decent okay. Spacing between all of them. Not regular, not consistent, but that is not Jurassic World, Jurassic Park at all. Everything's different every time.
So, like, I guess we should talk about, like, some of the background of this movie first. I feel like we do that.
Oh,
so
yes.
This one is directed not by Steven Spielberg. Spielberg, I think, is an
executive producer, yep.
An executive producer in this one. This is directed by Joe Johnston.
I looked up movies he's done. He has some good ones. He did like the freaking Pagemaster and
what?
Rocketeer.
The Rocketeer.
Red October or whatever. Oh, that one with Ellie or Laura Dern and Jake Gyllenhaal is. But he's done a bunch of good kind of more like family happy vibes movies.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with some
I'm
of the other
this.
Ones? Yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, see?
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
As a director. The first Captain America movie. It's probably the biggest.
That was boring. I thought it was boring.
Okay. The Nutcracker in the Four Realms. Yo. Remember
I've never heard
that
of that.
Movie?
No.
It was like a ridiculous Disney movie. It doesn't. It's yeah.
Okay.
I think he is more of a he got to start as a visual effects guy, it looks like. Because like he worked on Star Wars. So New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi also did like art director for Raiders of the Lost Ark and did stuff in Battlestar Galactica.
Okay, so he's been
at,
tied
that's, like,
to
his early
Steven
stuff.
Spielberg and other projects.
Raiders
of,
I mean, I guess with Raiders of the
Indiana
Lost Ark,
Jones,
yeah.
So that might have given him a leg up on getting...
Yeah. That's probably how he like knows how to do that stuff. Which kind of makes sense because this is much more of like a spectacle movie.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Screenwriters, they're different screenwriters than last time as well. Like David Koepp, I don't know if I'm saying that right. K-O-E-P-P was the screenwriter for Jurassic Park 1 and 2. And it looks like in the third one, it's a different set of writers.
We're just a lot, not the same people directly hands on with this.
No. So this like definitely feels different as a movie, like with the other two, right? Because like, I mean, I guess it not being a Steven Spielberg movie, like, made it There's like a direct to DVD quality to this, even though
totally
I looked up the budgets because I assumed that this felt like a lower budget movie than the other ones. It is not. Because like the budget for Jurassic Park 3. So the budget for the first Jurassic Park movie was $63 million, right? And it made like, you know, $1 billion or whatever. Jurassic Park 2 was $73 million, right? So a bit more, but not like a huge amount more. And that made like $500,000 or something. Or no, $500 million worldwide. And then Jurassic Park 3 was $93 million. Like
oh,
it was.
Shit.
Yeah, it was like 1.5 times as expensive as the first movie. And it made like $360 million, like total worldwide. But like it feels like a cheaper movie in certain parts. Yep. Even though it was the most expensive one, which I guess makes sense because some of the set pieces do look expensive.
Yeah.
But I will just say, those are the budgets for the first three, and then we get to Jurassic World. Do you want to guess what the budget for Jurassic World was?
Oh dear God. $3 million.
It was $215 million, so more than double Jurassic Park 3.
Holy crapoli.
Movies.
Yeah, well, they freaking put Chris Pratt in there. I'm sure he was charging a ton.
That's true. This is consistently the lowest rated Jurassic Park movie in the series.
Yeah, it's my lowest. Well, let's see. It's my second lowest. I really didn't like Dominion. Although I only watched it once, we'll watch that.
I've never seen that one, so I don't know.
I know it kind of was a very troubled production where they like had so many different versions of the script, and even into filming, they were still rewriting it. So that like leaves a lot of like not thought out details in this, or like maybe it worked for an old script, but it doesn't make sense here now, kind of stuff.
While this is another one where like it seems like no other characters show up from this movie into the future ones.
Nope.
Except for the ones that have already been established.
Yep.
So whole new cast.
It's like a small cast too. This is the smallest
It's a very
cast
small cast.
Ever.
Yes.
So I guess all that money
this is why I feel like it had the effects, right? This is why I'm like, it feels cheaper because it's like there's not a lot of actors. There's not a lot of, we don't really cut anywhere else. So, you know what I mean? Like, all of the scenes are, like, in
true.
The same
place. There's not multiple perspectives. It's just the one story.
Right.
There's no B-plot.
There is no B-plot.
Yeah, that's
so.
That
but I guess
true.
I guess Lost World was kind of like that, too. But, like, Lost World
I mean,
is, like,
have,
this is
like,
now we're in San Diego. You know what I mean? Like, now we're on a boat. We don't really even have like anything like that in this. It's just like you're in Jurassic Park. You know, you're on that island.
At least that had
and then
the
we go
two
to different parts.
Groups of people, like the ones sent by Hammond and then the ones sent by Ingen. So there's a little bit of like switching between and different opinions, perspectives in that one.
Yeah, this is also the shortest Jurassic Park movie.
It's so short. It's so short.
It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's so short. Like an animated film length.
Yep.
Oh man.
Which I think helped it. I think being shorter probably helped it.
Yeah.
In my eyes.
Which one's the longest?
The longest is I'm just pulling all this off Wikipedia. The longest is Dominion. It's 174 minutes.
So yeah, that.
So it's almost 2 hours and 30 minutes. All the other ones are around like the 2 hour 10 minute mark. That's kind of the layout of it, of like where it sits with the other movies in the franchise for the most part, I feel like.
Not high.
It doesn't feel like at this point that Jurassic Park is going to be a franchise that survives any longer than this movie.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's a long time to go between them. And I guess we weren't at the stage yet of everything just being remakes of old or like continuances. So. People
even
thought
like,
this was it.
I'm looking at the novels, which is like kind of the ways you like continue a series back in the day.
Yep.
And other than like the two Crichton novels, there was a short trilogy of spinoff novels based on Jurassic Park 3 by Scott Cintron.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
But that just was 2001 to 2002. Well, it's 2001 to 2002, and then that's it. Then there's nothing until, I guess, the reboot in 2015.
Colin Trevorrow. Yeah. So that's kind of the troubled backstory of this movie. Now we can jump into why this is not well received, which is talking about the movie itself and what happens in it. Okay. Are you ready? Ready for me to remember to go through how Jurassic the plot Park. Goes without
three?
Yep. Okay. So opening scene, because each movie opens with somebody gets some kind of dino encounter. That's how they've opened in the first two movies and now this one. So basically we've got a boat that is, near Isla Sorna, which is site B, and
the island from the second movie.
It's restricted because they're looking out for planes to make sure that they don't see them before they parasail, because it's illegal to do so. And so we've got a boat with the two folks, I guess, who run this parasailing company, and then the two tourists who are using the service is a young boy and adult man with him. And so they get all set up. They go up in the sky, and this company has a great name, Dinosaur, S-O-A-R. Great branding.
That was a good... The scene where they the parachute pops out and you see that's the name is very good.
It's so good. They're looking. They're specifically looking. I guess that's the whole thing is you're touring to get a chance to see the dinosaurs, because everybody knows that dinosaurs exist now because a Tyrannosaurus Rex is going through San Diego. So the world is aware of the presence of dinosaurs on these islands. And so they're looking, they're not seeing anything. And then we cut to the boat where the water's getting choppy, it's getting foggy. And now the boat is out of sight, and they're and then it reappears and we see blood and damage to the boat. Inexplicable. Boats in this franchise are a mystery. They don't have any water dinosaurs presented to us.
I thought there was going to be, and I was surprised when there wasn't.
What? Because it makes no sense. What attacked them?
Something in the water. I don't know.
So it's
maybe
not
one of
addressed.
Maybe one of our bird dinosaurs that we see later.
I don't. Whatever. Anyways, they're what happened to them? And then they look ahead and see the boat is, hurling towards a rock, which if they get caught on that attached to the boat, they're just gonna get snagged down and killed. So
yep,
freaking kid in the way being and the guy's shush, I gotta save us, move your hands. So they detach, and now they're just free soaring, and that's all we see from them for a bit. We cut to the opening. Well, no. What was it? The title credits, where it has the dinosaur claws come through, and that's where you see it. So it's very much we're using cool effects in this movie.
It does have a good logo.
Yeah.
The Lost World is not anything. It's just we put the Lost World over what looks like the same Jurassic Park logo. Effect. But this has the claw marks make the three. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Although people are scandalized. People are you can't change the main mascot. But I guess this is a new director, a lot of new people, so they probably want to make it clear that this is different. Or think that they're making it different in a good way. The logo is good. It's distinct. And so after that, we cut to good old Dr. Grant.
I will say, about the last thing. I will say that the gliding effect, when they're in, they're gliding, it looks very cheap. It looks like they're just in a green screen.
Yeah, but the camera, looks fuzzy a lot in this. Its quality does not look very good.
And this is why I am this seems like it was, a cheaper movie, even though it turned out to be a more expensive movie.
Ugh, jeez. Money's not everything. That's what we're learning here. Takeaway. Throwing money at something doesn't make it better. More expensive does not mean better. Oh, uh-huh. God. Yep. So yeah, we cut to a presentation speech by Dr. Grant, I guess at a, I don't know if it's a fundraiser or something, but basically he gives a spiel on the latest thing he's been talking about, which is the intelligence of raptors. And most people seem disinterested in that, and they're only there to ask questions about his experience at Jurassic Park. And
do we get the do we get the scene with Laura Dern before this?
No, it's after.
It's after this, okay. Yep. That's not what it's in my notes, but okay.
Is that right? Oh, maybe
I think
I'm
it
wrong.
Happens first. Okay, in my notes. It,
God damn okay. it. Okay. Sorry, guys. This one sucks. I haven't watched it as much, so I don't have it as clearly in my... Okay, get back to that. Before this, it's Grant hanging out with married Ellie, who's got a freaking baby and toddler with some guy we don't know.
Yep.
Ugh, I should look at my notes. It's going to help me. Okay.
How do you feel about them not
sorry,
being
Sorry, I need to look at my notes. Well, as a child, I didn't realize that they were together. So, like, growing up watching this, I was like, whatever. But it's very clear that's like, oh, this is, you know, he probably, I don't know. Like, obviously, it didn't work out between them. And probably it's the kid thing, right? He didn't want kids. And she very clearly wanted children and now has children with someone else. And, but we see, because in the house, we see him trying to talk to her parrot, because, you know, parrots live a long time, so it knew him previously. He's like, oh, it used to know my name. Because remember, we used to be a thing.
Yeah.
New husband, me and her, we got history. But he's, yeah, so we don't really learn anything about him. But it,
we do see him interact with her son, and he is very awkward. I do like how he's like, he still kind of sucks at this. Like, he, you know, he's like, okay, interacting with kids now, but he's not good at it.
Yes, well, he doesn't have the baby voice or, like, want to. He's just talking to it, like, correcting him. Like, hey, a brachiosaur and a triceratops would not be fighting. It's actually these raptors here that would be fighting. Like, trying to use reason with a three-year-old. But the kid identifies him as the dinosaur man. And, yeah, they have dinner. I made a note that they made coffee after dinner, which rules. I love coffee any time of day. Happy to have coffee after eating.
Yeah, dessert coffee.
And okay, and Ellie and Dr. Grant are talking about his research, and he's like, they're smarter than we could ever imagine. I'm like, you guys, saw them yourselves, how smart they were. This is not a new discovery. We've known this.
Them speculating about raptors specifically is very funny, because, like, I get why you do this, because it sets up stuff that happens later in this movie, but in the context of them doing it,
it doesn't make sense.
I mean, it makes a little more sense based on what happens in the next scene where he, like, gives the seminar.
Yeah.
Oh,
and she,
which is interesting,
is, like, writing books about, I guess it's paleontology, because she makes a reference about not using a quote from Jack Horner, which is an actual person, the guy that Dr. Grant is actually based off of. So that's a fun little Easter egg that he exists in this world, even though Grant's character is based off him in real life. But so she's like an author now, I guess, you know, the jig is up, so they can write books about their experiences if they want, you know, NDA void when a dinosaur comes through downtown San Diego.
Yeah. When it goes to San Diego, it's kind of over. Also, are they just gone totally under at this point? They never talk about that company. But, like, I'm assuming they went under after the events of Jurassic Park 2.
They surely must. Yeah. No, well, they don't, because it's mentioned in Jurassic Park World. But.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Okay. Well, it doesn't close because it still exists there. I just don't know how it could have existed for that entire time. I'm just assuming they're like doing terribly, and, you know, probably got so many lawsuits and this and that.
There's no, they can't enforce their NDAs anymore because they have no money. Yep. So.
So, you know, we get the whole, do you remember what they used to sound like? They communicate with each other, da da da. That's like, we're like super, Grant is now just raptor guy.
He's a raptor guy. Yes. They haunt him.
Yes. Oh my God, we'll get to it.
It's great.
Whatever. Okay. And then, yeah, back to, and then from here we go to the, so he's just visiting. I don't remember where this takes place, but I guess it's like been a while since he saw Ellie. And since he's in town for this, you know, presentation thing, he came and visited her. And now back to what I first described. Basically, you know, gives a speech. Nobody claps until the lady who works there like prompts them to. And then he's like, and she asks if anyone has any questions for Grant. And he says, does anyone have a question that does not relate to Jurassic Park or the San Diego incident, which I did not witness?
And yeah, then, like, which I was in, or the movie I wasn't in.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Yes. So, yeah, he said it very, he's got a good voice. He said it very well. And then, like, almost all of the hands, one person maybe has a hand up still. And then this guy is like, don't you think it's kind of moot to be, you know, doing research on this now? We have actual dinosaurs we could be studying instead. And Grant's like, the real dinosaurs died 65 million years ago. The things that John Hammond and Jen created at Jurassic Park are just theme park monsters. And that's his stance, that, you know, he's still doing paleontology, like digging up bones and stuff. And that's the way to learn more about them, which, like, it's true because these are like altered. They're not true to their original form. But, and yeah, he freaking hates Jurassic Park because it's a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, I like this plot point a lot because it makes sense that, like, why would he be talking with Ellie about raptors still, even though they ran into actual raptors? Is because he doesn't think those are real raptors. He thinks those are just like some bullshit that somebody made. Like, they're just some like weird genetic hybrid. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that he does not want to like acknowledge these things are actually dinosaurs, they're just like weird monstrous recreations.
Mm-hmm.
I think makes a lot of sense for like why he's the way he is. I think this is a really good, because the thing the problem I have with the second movie.
Yeah.
Is that like the sequence of events that get you from the first movie to the second movie just kind of don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, we just, like, Malcolm is, like, a disgraced pop mathematician now because he said stuff about Jurassic Park. And it just doesn't make sense. But this makes more sense to me, where it's like, Dr. Grant decided that these dinosaurs aren't real and he just wants to try to forget about it as much as possible and run away as far as he can.
Yeah. So, and that's why, I guess, that he was, like, did not speak about it even after Malcolm did.
So that makes sense. That like plugs that.
Well, we see again how
for me,
like, Malcolm was so different from 1 to 2 from his experience there, and like Grant hasn't like at his core changed, but like his reason for things maybe is a little different, where it used to be more genuine interest, but now I don't like what I saw. I want to like defend the thing that I originally loved and not this new thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that. I like that as characterization. Yeah. I think that's pretty solid.
Yep. Okay, so we cut to, like, this junkyard of old planes and aircrafts. And we just get a guy talking on the phone as two guys are, like, basically testing freaking high-power sniper equipment stuff and blow up a plane. And the guy on the phone is like, yeah. We, you know, these guys are experts. This is going to go great. You know, basically just like, oh, somebody has a plan that includes needing guns for dinosaurs. Yeah.
Because they shot a stationary airplane with a huge sniper rifle.
So close. It wasn't far enough to justify
it. It wasn't even that
scope.
Far. It has like the biggest scope of all time.
Yes.
This is extremely funny for what happens later.
Yes. I made a note. I do like the music. Like, I wouldn't say any of this music is music that I remember outside the movie, but I think the music's a good job of kind of carrying the legacy of good music in this. Is John Williams the composer in this?
Or is this
probably someone else, because we're not keeping anyone.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll look that up.
Okay. After this, we cut back to Alan, who, you know, clearly getting back home to Montana after his business trip. He get a freaking, there's, this is like the dig site he's currently working at. He's right, Dr. Grant, he's a professor, blah blah blah. We see one of his students who's a, you know, like, let me show you how, you know, like, where it's like, oh, I'm a girl and I don't know how to bat a baseball, whatever. So the guy is like, here, let me show you. And they like hold behind and show you how to swing the dinosaur cleaning version of the bone, you know, digging version of that. Or he's just some girl being like, slower, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yep, music. Who's it composed by?
So the composer, so John Williams did not do three because he was busy doing AI, the music for AI. And he recommended the movie, Artificial Intelligence, AI. I think it's another Spielberg movie. Don Davis was the composer for this, who did the music most notably for the Matrix series.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So someone, yeah, because I do like it. It's just not as memorable.
And also a Goofy movie.
Oh my god, I love Goofy movie. Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. See, we have like people who've worked on family movies working on this movie. It's interesting. But yeah, so we get the Grant, like, you know, his student who we find out is named Billy, greets him being Billy. Like, oh, how'd it go? And he's like, oh, you better change your major. We did not get funding and we have this many weeks, and then Billy's like, actually I bought a bunch of equipment, so we have even less money than you thought, so we actually only have 3 weeks here. And so he's like, but look, let me show you what I just blew our money on. And it is a basically a 3D printer.
He makes a 3D printer. Yeah.
And
I was like, woo.
Yes. Cool stuff. Basically using it to like scan fossils and recreate parts of, you know, dinosaur anatomy. And what does he have? But the vocal resonating chamber of a velociraptor. And he starts.
Right. He makes a big whistle.
So it's
whistle.
Like a working whistle. And then Grant, we can see Grant being like, probably has goosebumps because it sounds like the raptors that he encountered in his time at Jurassic Park. And he's like, this is incredible, but I'm sad to say it's too late, right? We already don't have funding. There's no time to like use this to try and get more funding. And so they're like, oh man. And then we get a guy come into the tent asking for Dr. Grant. He introduces him. What?
It's William H. Macy.
Oh, what is he from?
The actor. He's in Fargo.
Fargo,
people probably
movie.
Know him now because, yeah, Fargo the movie. He's in the Shameless TV show. It's probably the most.
Oh, yeah. He's this piece of shit dad in that. Okay. Yeah, that's what I know him from.
Yeah. He's very good at playing that type of character where he's like kind of
schlubby.
Yeah. Like a guy who's like kind of trying to pull it together, but not really. And like kind of is making up for it, but not really.
Yep.
Really good.
Yes, this is Mr. Kirby, who's all like, I'm rolling up with my cool circle glasses. Here's my business card because I'm a businessman. And Grant's like, what can I do for you, Mr. Kirby? And Mr. Kirby talks about how him and his wife are little like travelers and do all the adventures.
He like really oversells this.
Yes, you can. It's very which clear is great. That he's deceptive. Like trying to compensate or like convince.
Well, it's really good because it comes off like it because he's like, oh, I'm in investing. Like we do all this other stuff. I've made like very powerful friends or whatever.
Oh my god. Yeah.
But like it comes off as like this guy is just like it's good for the sales pitch that he's doing, which like he comes off as like a dumb rich tourist, which is what he's pretending to be.
That's so true. Yeah, basically.
Except
like,
they do go get dinner at a dive
good
bar.
Lord. Yeah, that's true. Incredible. Well, it's Montana, so I'm assuming there's not a lot of options.
It's just
dining.
Really funny where it's like, I'm super rich. Anyway, we got to go to the like burger joint on the corner here because that's what I can afford.
Yes. But yeah, basically, he's like, oh, me and my wife always for our anniversary do new adventures, and we're looking to fly around Isla Nublar, and we'd love to have you join us as a guide, blah, blah, blah. Mr. Kirby's like, oh, sorry, I just travel. Or no, he doesn't say this yet. Basically, he's like, I'd like to, can I treat you to dinner? And Grant is like, oh, I just got back. I'm too tired, trying to pull out. And then Billy's like, wait, I'd love to. And then that forces Grant to go along. And Kirby's like, great. Okay. So same day, spontaneous dinner with strangers. And then, this is where they
meet
Miss Kirby, who I, like, obviously I know all these people from this movie, but when I watched Bad Boys for the first time, I was like, oh my God, it's Mrs. Kirby.
Yeah.
She's in that.
Tia Leone.
Yes. And yeah, they give the whole spiel of what, you know, they on their anniversary, like, do big stuff, and that they are going to be flying around the island. And Grant's like, oh, you won't be able to fly low enough to actually see anything. And then this is where they're like, well, that's the interesting thing, we have permission to blah blah blah. Grant's not convinced, you know, he's like, oh, that's hard to believe. Basically, they're like, oh, this would mean so much to us. And Mr. Kirby pulls out a checkbook and he's like, I will compensate you. Like, I can write all kinds of numbers on this check. Just say it. And then Grant is a sellout now.
Dude, he needs the money. This is the thing we know about Grant.
Yeah, that's true. This is the exact same scenario where he's like, oh, I don't want to go, but this is going to save my career and this dig site. So,
like, second time. This is the thing.
He should have learned his lesson.
I like about it. Well, it's because it's like, the thing about Grant, and this is true of all three movies, is that he will always take the check. And I think it's so funny how that's like, as much as a like curmudgeon-y guy who doesn't want to like have anything to do with any of this stuff, he will always take, he can't say no. Like, well, he's the most American guy where it's like, he does have a price for everything.
Yeah. Well, everything he wants to do, it's not something he can fund. It like has to be funded by greater forces. And so, like, his whole career probably has been, like, making nice with all these people that he hates for the sake of, like, you know, necessary
it's great.
Evil.
I love this.
Yeah. So then we cut to freaking plane flying over the ocean because we're doing it. We've got Grant on the plane, of which, you know, he's like, oh, God, these people suck. I'm going to take a nap. Wake me up when we're there. And I don't know, him and Billy like chat a bit before that, just like, oh, my lucky, we always got a lucky bag of some kind in these movies. Yep. Now
he's lucky got bag.
Like, a camera bag, and he's like, oh, I went gliding and this one strap saved my life, blah blah blah. Anytime they focus on any kind of object or like action, you know it's important.
I like the inversion of this, because like in the second movie, it's like the bag does end up saving her because she like holds on to it while like not falling. And in the third movie, the bag like gets them all wrecked because he screws everything up.
Yes. So yeah, that's true. So many parallels. So we meet a few of our other cast members now.
You don't need to meet them. They don't matter.
Mr. and Mrs. Kirby are here. There's a guy, super suspicious looking, wearing all black and sunglasses. And, you know, Billy's like, oh, how you know them? He's like, oh, a church. And then we've got two folks flying the plane. The guy, obviously, these are the three guys we saw blowing up, blah, blah, blah.
Like the mercenary guys, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got, so Cooper's the guy in black, and then Nash is the actual pilot. And then there's Udesky, who is the guy who's on the phone. So he's the one coordinating with the Kirbys to get this all set up. And these are the other two are kind of like the little henchmen. And so Grant takes a nap. And then one of my biggest issues with this goddamn movie is that he like has this dream. He's on the plane and no one's there. And he hears his name being called and looks over and sees a raptor talking to him. And it's not raptors he's ever seen before. It's not the raptors he saw in Jurassic Park 1. You know, it looks nothing like that. You would assume if he would like think of a raptor, it'd be the ones that he saw and almost killed him. But no, we're too lazy to like render a different raptor. We're just gonna use the one that we made for this movie and put it there, even though Grant's never seen it in his life.
I didn't even notice this. Are they that different?
What? Yes! This one's like colorful. The other ones were like very like brown and like
washed out,
distinguished. Yeah. Yes. And this has like little prods coming off the top of his head. And yeah. So I was like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah, I am seeing a chart now. Yeah. It does look different.
It's yep. Like I mean, I like the raptors in Jurassic Park, The Lost World, which we only see for like 5 seconds, but those ones have like cool, they have like cool tiger stripes. And this is the same island as that movie. So if anything, they should look like those dinosaurs. They should look like the tiger raptors, not totally different. Because we forget that Site B is the thing we saw in Lost World, but we're not going to worry about trying to make any kind of distinguishable connection, even though it's supposed to be the same place. God. Okay, so he wakes up because it was Billy calling him, and then he like it turns out, oh, they're like all looking out for stuff and being like, you see anything? Let's find a landing place. And he's like, excuse me, we can't land here. Because they had like approached the island and were flying low like they told them they were going to. And he, sweet Grant, is trying to do what he was hired to do and be like, look, Mrs. Kirby, if you look there, you can see blah, blah, blah. And then this and that. So I'm like, oh, he's just genuinely trying to be a guide like he thought he was going to be. It's so sad because no one was listening to him because they're all like looking. And we hear some radio audio and it's like the Costa Rica government being like, excuse me, you don't have access to fly here. Turn around immediately. And they just turn the radio off. So at that point, I was like, dude, they know a plane is here. I can't believe they didn't send somebody to like check it out immediately. You know? Anyways.
I mean, what are they going to do? Send like,
I don't know. If someone's flying in a restricted area, is it more of a like once you land, in theory, you're landing somewhere with people and you just get received there?
Yeah, like if you're flying to a restricted area, it's normally because there was like something happening there that they don't want you to show up to, so they'll just like arrest you when you land. If you're flying to like a forbidden zone, that's like it's off limits because you go there to die. It's just like you get to commit resources to go track that down. Like, I don't know, we'll get to it later.
Oh my god. Yep. Oh my god, we're already 40 minutes in. Jesus Christ.
This is why I'm saying we gotta move a little faster.
Fuck! Okay, sorry. Okay, blah, blah, blah. He's, like, making a fuss. He gets punched to knock him out by Cooper. He wakes up hearing a speaker calling out a name, Eric, and he's like, what happened? And Billy's like, they're looking for someone. They have landed. Grant walks out. You know, he's like, who hit me? And Mr. Kirby tells him, and then he's like, tell your wife to stop doing that. It's a very bad idea to be screaming in a jungle full of dinosaurs, basically announcing we're here. And as she says, it, you know, they say it, and she's like, what? And then we hear big, giant roar, rawr, dinosaur, whatever. And then Billy, his protege, is like, oh, this sounds big. It's got to be a tyrannosaur. And Grant's like, no, it's sounds bigger. And we see two of our guys, Udesky and Nash, start like sprinting out of the jungle looking fear struck, being like, we gotta get out of here, we'll just fly and circle the island and look that way. And so they all get on the plane, and Grant's like, what about Cooper? And they're like, oh, he's professional, he can handle himself. And so they all get on board. They start, you know, like, what is it? Gaining speed to take off. We see Cooper come out of the jungle looking injured. But he's like, slightly injured. Like but how could he sustain damage from that thing and not be killed instantly? I could not.
Well, he probably, like, I just assumed he, like, scraped himself running away or something.
On a tree. His arm looked, like, broken or something. But, yeah, so he's, like, there being like, oh, please help me, stop. And Nash behind the steering wheel is like, you know I can't stop this. Move out of the way. And then, as they're getting close to him, out of the jungle comes the Spinosaurus, this enormous dinosaur with a big old sail.
Red dinosaur. He snaps up
Cooper in his mouth, and they like don't want to crash into its legs, so he immediately like lifts the plane up and they like swipe the sail of the Spino, and that causes damage, and so they don't take off properly and like crash into the forest nearby. The wings of the plane get ripped off, and it's the plane's totaled. They're like lodged in high trees, and they're like, oh my god, is everybody okay, this and that. And then Mrs. Kirby is like looking out the window and sees the Spino and starts screaming. And everyone's like, what? There's nothing, because it like hides for a second. And then plane rattled, rips off the nose of the plane, snatches Nash by the leg. And I feel so bad for these people who are like, help me, because sheer desperation. he
gets eaten. And they don't get helped.
Please note, at that point, he had the satellite phone, which was like their one way to communicate. He had it on him, so that goes down with him in the Spino's tummy. Pushes the plane down, and they somehow survive that impact.
At this point, I would like to note, we have, and this is like maybe what, 20 minutes in, 15 minutes in?
Yeah, it takes off pretty quickly. May 20.
All the non-white characters are dead.
We had one. He's already gone.
We had the guys at the beginning too, the Spanish guys. Mm. 100% non-white mortality rate. Just throwing that out there.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so I know we do our little bit.
I'm taking so long.
We do our little bit where you say we need to go faster, and then you go at more or less the exact same speed.
Sorry. Okay.
Maybe we should go a little faster.
Fuck.
You know?
Okay. Okay.
There's a scene where they get attacked in the plane, right?
Yes. Yep. So they like basically he's eating Nash, and they like try to run out, but they're like, no, wait, and then they go back in. And basically like time it where it's smashing into the plane to like each run out by themselves. They take off into the jungle. They like reach a stopping point, encounter a T-Rex eating a carcass. And then Grant does the whole nobody move a muscle and no one listens to him. Mm-hmm. And they all take off. So he's forced to take off too. T-Rex starts chasing them. Oh, T-Rex and Spino collide in combat with each other as everyone else is scrambling underneath. And like very quickly, the Spinosaurus kills the T-Rex, the mascot of the beloved movie in this franchise, killed by this new one. Because they're trying to be like, look, we're the cool new Jurassic Park. Let's just murder everything people liked about the first one. And so T-Rex dead. Spino is distracted, so they take off from there. We cut to Grant punching Mr. Kirby because he's like, what the hell, man? Like, why did you land? Why are we here? Like, blah, blah, blah. And they explain that they're looking for their son, Eric, who crashed here 8 weeks ago. And, Grant's like, great. I bet you didn't, that check wasn't even real. And so he's like, oh, we're here. Our lives, we're most likely going to die and we're not getting paid for it. And so he's pissed. Him and Billy are like, figure out the plan that they're going to go towards the coast and hope they can find a boat. And so Udesky and the Kirbys are like, what do we do now? And Udesky's like, we're going to search for your son still, but in the direction that the people who know what the hell they're doing are going.
This is also where we learn that Udesky is just like, the booking agent for the other two guys. Like, the other two guys are, like, supposed to be the mercenary guys, and he's just, like, the third guy who's there.
Yes. So they start following and talking, and
like,
and
that is very fun. Both, the thing,
him
like,
and Mr.
The
Kirby
reveal...
are both like, you never can tell people, huh? You lied about you, I lied about me. Ain't that the truth? Kind of exchange of like, we're both liars and now we're in this situation because none of us know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah. The reveal of this movie is like a more family-friendly horror movie as opposed to, like, the first Jurassic Park movie is very clearly like a science fiction and then a bit of an action movie at the end, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jurassic Park 2 is kind of just like an action movie for the most part. Like, it never really feels
darker,
like anyone's
more...
in that much danger that you care about.
Yeah.
This feels more like a horror movie, you know, like a family friendly horror movie.
Mm,
and like campy. The things that play out, like are kind of in that, like the scene, like the way it's shot is definitely like in horror movie mode. It feels like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
I do like this being the big reveal that, like, we're on this island. Nobody has a plan. These people who you thought might have had a plan, like, it's not going to be like Jurassic Park 2 where you show up and, like, a huge, like, the army is here.
Yeah.
And you have all these professionals. It's like Mike and his buddy are here and you're stuck on this island and there's no way out. And nobody knows you're here because this is so half-assed. And Grant is also here. And he's just like, God damn it. I think that Sam Neill can carry a movie in a way that Jeff Goldblum could not carry a movie in Jurassic Park 2.
Yeah, well, he's definitely a more, like, easy to understand and follow character. I think Jeff Goldblum as an actor is very compelling to watch, but, like, his character isn't,
I mean,
knowledgeable
both,
enough to be the main character of a show where it's supposed to
they're
be
both
about
good
knowing
actors.
Things. Yeah,
but it's great to have Dr. Grant here. Like, Sam Neill is just like here being curmudgeonly because like the situation is so stupid, and it is like on paper you're just like, this is so dumb. Like, not only is this dangerous, it's also transparently idiotic.
Yeah, so he's pissed,
and I really like that.
They go back to the plane to like get salvage what they can.
Is this where they have the sexy changing scene?
Oh my god, yes. So we found out that the Kirbys are actually divorced, and the guy that their kid was with was, I don't know, like a side thing for the mom, some kind of boyfriend or something.
Yeah, it was like a boyfriend or something.
Yeah. But yeah, so we get the like, oh, you look real good, huh? And so basically being like, oh, these guys are gonna get back together through the power of movie.
But it's so like ridiculous, and especially after you just got the reveal that these guys are idiots, to have them being like, oh, you've like, I've lost some weight, like I've been doing some swimming classes. I'm just like, Jesus Christ,
this
it's so
not
funny.
Important. Yeah. Oh Lord. God.
And then what? We go to the testing for the hatching facility.
So they're like,
or no,
they find the parachute hanging in a tree. This is where they landed, and freaking they're like, oh cool, he's, you know, they made it, they must still be alive. Grant asked Billy if he can fly one of these things. He's like, yeah, if it's not torn. And so they want to salvage it in case they need it. So they start like trying to pull it out of the tree, and then swinging out is Ben Hildebrand's skeleton.
Jump scare.
Freaking gets snagged on Mrs. Kirby, which it is horrifying, and her reaction
like
is
her
so
boyfriend.
Good. Cause she like finally gets clear of it, and she does like, oh, like she's got the heebie jeebies, and then runs off, and they're like, go get Mrs. Kirby, Mr. Kirby. And so they're like having their, you know, she's hysterical. And he's like, I'm sorry about your boyfriend. She's like, no, I don't care about that guy. I'm actually just worried because now we know our son is alone out here. And so they're all upset. And then Grant and Billy like find a camera on him and show them. And so we see footage of like the landing, and that, you know, we see Eric be fine. So they're like, okay, he's and I guess we find out that Mrs. Kirby was on this vacation too, but she didn't go with them. So
yeah,
awkward. So,
and then they find
from there
while the Kirbys are off, they find Velociraptor eggs, and they're like, oh shit! And they call everyone over, and it's like, oh, there's all these Velociraptor eggs. That's crazy.
Yeah,
and
Grant's
and
like,
Dr. Grant is like, oh, Velociraptors,
PTSD.
We got to get out of here. And so they all leave, but Billy takes longer to leave than everybody else.
Dumbass. Grant's the only intelligent person.
The thing
is,
okay. The thing is, though, like we get an explanation for why he does this later, and it totally makes sense. But
yeah, it does. I mean, Grant's no better, right? He just took the paycheck for the same thing.
That's true. So This is better than Jurassic Park 2. I'm going to free all the dinosaurs for some reason now.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, so they are...
Let me go to the hatching facility,
they find a
right?
compound, and they're like, okay, cool. This is where Eric's got to be, right? It makes sense to live in a structure. So they go in. They're, like, looking. Phones are out. There's a bunch of, like, tanks for cloning, I guess. So yeah, a bunch of dead little baby dinosaurs in there.
Uh-huh. And when they walk in, you get like a little scene where like you see a raptor running in the background. And I'm like, this is horror movie stuff. Like, this is how you know it's a horror movie, is because it's like doing stuff like that.
Mm, that's true. Yeah, that was good.
You know what I mean? So I really enjoyed stuff like that. There's a good vending machine scene.
Yeah, I'm so sad because basically Mr. Kirby's like, oh, I'm hungry. Anybody got some change so I can buy this? And then Billy just kicks one of them open to break the glass, and then they all take off, and then Mr. Kirby is like, oh, I'll just do the same because the snack I want, I guess, is in this machine and not that one. So he tries to kick it, but this one's plastic, so he like hurts his leg and groans and just starts hobbling off. It's really funny.
It's so good. He's like such a little loser in it.
Oh my god.
It's so funny. It's good bit.
So,
and then they go into the hatching thing.
Yeah, they're wandering around, blah, blah, blah.
And this is, again,
like,
this is like
this
a horror movie.
Dinosaurs. Oh, yeah.
This exact scene happens in, like, Gears of War 2, which, like, I just played through all of them not that long ago.
Yeah,
but, like,
that's right.
This is, like, the most, we're going through, an experimental facility that's been abandoned. What's going on here? It seems like they're genetically altering some of these things.
Yes.
It's good.
So, and Grant's like, this is how you play God, and Mrs. Kirby is, like, going down the line, looking out all these things, and then she sees one that, like, is a raptor head in it, and she's just looking at it, and then the eye moves to look at her, and she screams because there's a raptor in there, and it starts chasing all of them, and they run into, like, I guess, like, the kennel area where they would have kept these young dinosaurs, and they get split up, so Mrs. Kirby and Billy are, like, trying to fend off this raptor, and they manage to, like, kind of trap it for a second, and then everyone starts running, and the raptor starts vocalizing, and Grant's like, my God, it's calling for help.
And then they take off. My one biggest fear.
Yes. They take off outside.
That's good.
And then they start running because they get into like a herd, a stampede of other dinosaurs. And we see multiple raptors are now on their tail, and so everyone's getting separated. Billy drops his camera bag, and so Grant picks it up. I would not have been concerned about it. I would have just left it. So they get split up, and I want to make a note, Joe, and I said this when we recorded the last one, but doesn't the island, like, the plant life look incredibly different than the second movie, which is all dry and piney, and this one's like super lush and tropical and green, and that one was like super brown.
Yeah, but I'm assuming they're on a different part of the island, right?
How big can this island be that it has like totally different,
I mean, it's gotta support all these different types of dinosaur that probably lived in different biomes.
I'm just like, this doesn't look like the same place.
Not that much. It wasn't that distracting to me though.
Okay, no, well, I'm just in my mind tearing this movie apart, so I'm finding any little nicky thing. I'm like, they made these raptors too smart. This is too smart of a thing for an animal
to do. The raptors, especially at the end, are extremely funny. But yeah,
it's
we should
unbelievable.
So is this when they get what's his face?
So yeah, they Grant is off by himself, the Kirbys and Billy are up in a tree, and we see Dusky get cornered and attacked by a raptor. Everyone up in the trees was watching, and they're like, oh my God. And then they're like calling to him, and he starts twitching, and they're like, oh, he's still alive. And Mrs. Kirby starts to like go down the tree, but falls and almost falls off, but like conveniently catches herself from falling in an awkward position. And then the raptors come out trying to snatch her. And so that's when Billy's like, oh my God, they actually set up a trap, which is also too much. That's unbelievable.
That's good. No, it's good. Like, if you're going to start your movie being like, you know, if it weren't for the meteor, raptors would have been the dominant species. I feel you got to be doing stuff like this.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Like, it's goofy, but, like, this is not a serious movie.
No, that's true. That's very true. But, yeah, so they pull her back up, and the raptors see that their plan failed, so they just go ahead and kill him. So bye-bye, Udesky, who brought some comic relief. We've got Grant off on his own, and then he ends up getting surrounded by raptors. And then out of nowhere, smoke grenades come, and we see what is very obviously Eric grab him and run and bring him to his little home base, which is a water truck outside the compound. And we find out, you know, this is Eric. He's been surviving somehow. He recognizes Grant. They get a little jab at Malcolm in there.
They have some good banter here.
Yes.
Like, I like this kid. Like, this is probably, like, you know, the kids in Jurassic Park have been very hit or miss. I like this kid. I like the conversation he has where he's like, oh, yeah, it's really helpful. I have this T-Rex pee. And Grant's like, how did you get T-Rex pee? And he's like, you don't want to know. And then, like, Grant's like, yeah, you've been here. Like, you did a really good job surviving for 8 weeks. And Eric's like, it's only been 8 weeks, which I thought was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Good Lord. Horrible. Horrible. He's, you know, old beans and chocolate bars and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're like, okay, the game plan was go to the coast. I'm sure that's what your parents are still doing, since that's what we said we do. So everybody is now heading to the coast separately. Yep. And we get basically we hear the phone ring, and Eric is like, oh, my dad's nearby, because this is our stupid ass company's
that
jingle.
Was really funny.
Yeah, so like they're running, and then the other group hears him yelling out dad, mom, and they're like, oh my god. So they all like go to rush and meet, but they're both on opposite sides at this big perimeter fence. And so, you know, they're hugging through it. Oh, joyous moment. Interrupted by Spinosaurus coming through.
I like the scene because they're like, oh, how did you find it? It's like, oh, I heard the satellite phone. And he's like, I lost the phone, like, when we first landed.
Nash.
Like, I didn't. Yeah, Nash had it. And then they just turn in the diner, and the Spinosaurus walks out of the woods.
Yeah, so basically we're hearing the phone ring through its belly.
Yeah, it's really, I like this. I think this is fun.
Yeah. Yes. So it starts chasing, because it's on the side that Grant and Eric are on, so it starts chasing them. Again, it's crazy how humans are able to outrun giant dinosaurs, but they manage to find a hole in the fence. They go through, reunited, joyous, thinking they're clear, but then the Spino goes, runs, and like rams through the fence immediately, so they all scramble to get into this little building on the cliff side, and somehow that door is more sturdy than entire perimeter fence, and it doesn't get them, and they're in there, and they have a confrontation because Billy's like, hey, give me my bag, my guy, I'm super suspicious. And Grant like opens it to be and revelation, Billy stole raptor eggs.
He stole them
because he wanted to sell them so they could fund the dig site more, which is basically the same thing Grant did. So can you be too judgy? But
well,
basically, the
sense.
Whole reason, yeah.
Especially because, like, you learn that you're not going to get paid for this, and you're like, well, this needs to pay off somehow. This is how it would pay off. Like, this makes a lot of sense to me in a way that nothing anybody was doing in Jurassic Park 2 made sense to me.
Yes. So basically, he's berating him, like, you know, this is why they're chasing us, and he goes to throw him, but he doesn't.
You're just as bad as them, as the people who made this park, he says.
Yep. So very pissed at him, and Billy's all like, oh, shucks. But Grant's like, it's better to hang on to this, because what if they catch us without the eggs? Then they're just gonna kill us. But at least if we have the eggs, we have a hope of like them just taking that and being satisfied. So he holds on to them. The thing they went into connects to a bigger like compound area that is you know, metal fencing and stuff. So it's, but it's very foggy, so they can't really see anything. So they're
hell
just
yes,
in, like,
this part rolls.
Platform.
This is the best part when it just turns into freaking Silent Hill. This is the best part of the movie. This is a great set piece.
Yes. Yeah. So they like some of the structure falls away. So they're like, okay, one at a time, cross this bridge. Grant goes first. Mrs. Kirby goes, and then it's Eric's turn. And he goes, and then, like, the bridge shakes, and he's like, Mom, did you come back? And then we find out it's a pteranodon. Huge-ass flying, kind of pterodactyl-looking thing is on the bridge. It takes off, it snatches Eric, and starts flying off, and they're all freaking out, chasing it. And you know, while as he's getting snatched, Grant, like, it dawns on him because he sees bird poop, like, on these things, and he looks up and sees that it's a giant bird cage.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, like, airborne dinosaurs, and so they all start chasing. Billy is all like, I gotta redeem myself, so I'm gonna try and save him by putting this parasail on and flying after him in a place with flying dinosaurs. They're definitely gonna attack me because I'm, like, dry, you know, moving food now in the air, helpless.
Well, like, so Eric is, like, on with the little
Yeah, he
baby.
Gets dropped off at a nest because they're giving their nest food.
And he's, like, jumping on these different little, like,
lifted rocks.
Little platforms, like, trying to get away, but he's, like, reached the end of it. So, like, Billy coming and him just, like, jump and grab on. This is, like, a really good scene. I like this scene a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he... they take off. He gets close enough to the water that he has Billy drop, or Eric drop, and Billy's still on there. And he gets stuck on a cliff edge because the sail gets ripped by the Pteranodons, and they start attacking him. And the rest of the gang gets with Eric, and they're, you know, it's like, oh, we gotta save him. So they, like, start trying to, but then Billy's like, no. You know, obviously,
well, he
I'm
drops.
Fucked.
Yeah, he drops into the water, and then they just the pterodons just start pecking at him, and, like, the current starts to take him away.
Yeah, so, you know, they leave him behind, and they find an exit, and they go to close the door, but as they walk away, of course, the door didn't lock all the way, so now it's open. So now, which means that they couldn't have gotten out before, so they weren't the things that attacked those guys in the boat. So I don't know what the hell attacked them, because they were in the cage the whole time till now. Now they can be on the loose, now that the door's been left open conveniently. They find the boat they were looking for. They get on it. They start, you know, going
sailing away
downstream slow. Grant's all like, damn, the last thing I said to Billy was, you suck, and... tragic.
And then he was a hero. Dang, I really misjudged that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can make a phone call, right? Oh, no. They hear the phone now.
Yeah, they hear the phone now, so they, like, pull the boat aside and find three giant piles of shit. And, steaming hot.
Yep.
Obviously, the Spino took a dump over here, and they should have been like, oh, the Spino must be nearby. These are fresh-ass loads here. But no, they start digging, trying to find the
have to find it before it stops ringing.
Oh yeah, because then it's like now we have to go through all the stuff. We have a Carnotaurus show up, which is, you know, a smaller than a T-Rex but still like a predator, and so they all freeze, like, freaked out, but it smells them, and then it's like does a comedic like, ugh, like, you guys smell terrible, and then it just takes off.
This
and then
good.
They get back in the boat. It kind of starts raining, but they're like, okay, we gotta make a call. There's only juice left. Your favorite word, juice. Juice left for one call. And so they, like, turn it off for now. And, you know, going down, it's raining heavier. Grant, like, decides he's gonna give Ellie a call because she had been like, you can always depend on me, Grant. And so he calls. Her toddler picks up. And so he's like, take the phone to mummy. And while they're doing that, or waiting, while he goes and does that, the Spinosaurus reappears, and freaking, it's in the water because they are kind of aquatic. This is not an accurate representation of what a Spinosaur looks like. But yes, they, I think, are supposed to be, like, somewhat aquatic. And so it starts attacking the boat. They all get in this cage in the boat to, like, protect themselves from above. But the boat ends up starting to sink. And they're trying to, like, get their hands on the phone because, you know, it had the call had disconnected while the freaking 3-year-old was watching Barney, the dinosaur.
The cutbacks are
this.
So good. I love this scene where it's like they're all getting, like, drowned by this Spinosaurus or whatever. And, like, and then on the other hand, there's this toddler watching Barney.
Yes. It's good. So Ellie recalls the number because he told her it was the dinosaur man. So she calls. She's like, Alan, hello. I can't hear you very well. And he's like, has 5 seconds before he goes under. So he's like, site B, the river. And then gurgle, gurgle. And so Ellie, at least he gets the the point across that Site B, which means Isla Sorna. So she turns away like she's activated to go, you know, do something. So they're all drowning. Mr. Kirby manages to get out of that little cage. And so he starts climbing on this nearby crane, yelling and trying to get the Spinosaur's attention. He does. So the rest of them swim out. Freaking Grant finds a flare gun, which I'm like, are flare guns fire or waterproof? Like, would this thing work after being doused in water? I don't know. But basically, it's like starting to go after Mr. Kirby. So he like shoots it with the flare. One hits him. It doesn't do anything. But since the boat just got wrecked, there's like gas in the river. And so it hits the river, and then the river gets ignited. And so then it's like spooked and runs off. And Mr. Kirby like falls into the fiery water, and they're like, oh my god, he's, you know, dead, whatever. So Mrs. Kirby is all like, how, you jerk, how could you leave me behind, blah blah blah. And then he's right there, and he's like, oh, I'm fine, what are you talking about? And then little family trio, happy, hugging, all that, very clear that they'll get back together. And so from there they like are on foot walking towards the beach now, because they hear helicopters. And so they're rushing to the beach, but a whole bunch of them, which this is where we see there's like different looking ones. So I'm assuming the colorful ones are the males, and the more similar to like what the first movie raptors looked like are the females, because right, the first movie only had female dinosaurs. So that makes sense. But so, and so they're all kneeling, being submissive. And then one of the female raptors, it's indicating that I think it's Mrs. Kirby who has the eggs. And so she, you know, is like, give me the eggs. And so she like puts them out in front of her as far as possible. And they're all nervous that they're about to eat them. But one female grabs an egg and then takes off. And then another one does. And then while this is happening, you know, Grant sees in the bag that the raptor whistle thing is in there. So he starts to like use it to call for help. And then the raptors all hear that. And so they, you know, take off, I guess, looking for the source of this, even though you would think they'd be able to tell that it's happening right in front of them. But whatever. They take off. It's the group runs to the beach. And what is there? But like Navy and Marines. Freaking Ellie dispatched everybody, even though they couldn't anyone to come look for their son. But like she somehow had the connections to make this happen. But yeah, so they're rescued. They're saved. They board the helicopter and who is there? But Billy all banged up. And, you know, like, yeah, he's alive. And he's like, I saved your hat, dead. Alan.
They got him somehow. Yep,
so, you know,
yeah, he got his hat.
Yeah, they, you know, the family's hugging.
This is so goofy at
he's
the end.
He's relieved. Billy's okay. They take off and then they're like looking out the window. And it's like, what is that? And the pteranodons have gotten out and are flying.
I just lost you.
Oh, sorry. I might have had a little drop in my internet. But yeah, so
all right, no,
they
back.
See the pteranodons outside and they're like, I guess they're looking for new nesting grounds. That's fine. Don't shoot them down with all these army guys you have. But yeah, the end. Ugh.
The end. The raptor scene is so goofy when they're doing like a hostage exchange with a bunch of raptors. It's like very funny.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Billy's not dead at the end because I don't know. Plot. Whatever. Who cares?
But yeah, I'm like, three guys died for this one kid.
He's a hero.
Is that a fair exchange? I don't know. Yeah.
I guess.
It's like, what happened to Ben? What happened those guys to the guy? Shit. Why couldn't they get him out of the parachute? Eric was just like, you're toast, dude. I'm taking off by myself. You can just rot over there. What happened? The skeleton was intact, which I think
something must have happened.
Like a big dinosaur came and got him while he was there. It would have been broken or something. Well, how could
it might have been a small dinosaur and got him.
Another thing that's not addressed and doesn't make sense. And you know, they at some point Billy and Grant were like speculating on what the Spinosaur was, and we get some fun shout outs to dinosaurs that will later be in the franchise, like the Baryonyx and the Suchomimus. But Grant's like, no. Spinosaur Gypticus or something. And Billy's like, that wasn't on Ingen's list. And Grant's like, I wonder what else Ingen was up to here. So implications that like Ingen doing a lot of things under the radar.
I do like the implication. Yeah. Yeah. Like, and Jin is just Umbrella from Resident Evil now, mm-hmm. where it's just like, yeah, they're doing all sorts of stuff. Who knows what they're doing?
Just so we can
have
movie,
another lab, you know? Somewhere else, and we don't even know.
That's right.
Just so we can have another movie. See?
Yeah. I like.
So how did
right?
we feel about
like,
this movie?
If you look at it without much expectation, I guess it's fun to watch, but it just doesn't have very much depth. And there's some inconsistencies. So as far as
right.
up to this point, Jurassic Park movies, yeah. I feel like it's the worst because felt... it like doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The dinosaurs are more cartoony, right? There's not much intrigue about behavior other than the unrealistic behavior of the raptors. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, but do you like it more than two? See, I like this one more than two because it is more cartoony. Like, it really does feel like we're just doing, like, it's Jurassic Park, but Injin is now Umbrella from Resident Evil, and we're having Silent Hill sequences where we're going through the like, caged bridge while it's foggy, and, like, most of the movie is just, like, getting from mm-hmm. one set piece action thing to another in a way that, like, Jurassic
yes,
Park 2 was also that, but then it was
like,
had all this
lulls.
Other stuff, and
it
just
it
didn't
all,
make
like,
any sense. This is like, yeah, this,
yeah.
Just the stakes are lower for this, right? Because it's like,
yes.
Other than the fact yeah. that we like Dr. Grant, like, these are just random people, more or less, right? Mm-hmm. And it feels like a smaller movie because of it, but I do like it more because it's like, it makes more sense that this random group of people would just get wrecked by a bunch mm-hmm. of dinosaurs because it's
versus
such a half-assed expedition.
One in JP2.
Whereas, like, when, yeah, like, when the guys that have all of the trucks and the everything, like, they get attacked one time and they lose all that stuff, it just feels like
yeah,
it doesn't,
for sure.
That shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, yeah. So, it depends on what you're looking for
as
from
much.
A Jurassic Park movie. But, yeah, I guess, like, critically, this is the worst at this point. And so expensive!
It's the lowest rated, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so there's
some
fun parts. We get
some
new dinosaurs, which we didn't get much focus on new dinosaurs. Like, JP, The Lost World had the compies and, like, brief glances at other ones, but, like, new dinosaurs weren't in the action scenes. So we get Spinosaurus and the Pteranodon.
Yeah, and I like that about
I could be wrong. They could be something not Pteranodon, but, like, in my mind, Pteranodons are, like, the big scary. Okay, cool. I was right.
Wikipedia says it's Pteranodon,
yeah.
so.
It's freaking, yeah, so kind of just like a fun, campy action movie.
I mean, I like the pivot.
Yeah. Well, I wish it was more scary.
Movie.
There's no,
yeah, I mean,
like,
it's not,
jump
I don't even
scares.
Know if it's that campy.
Like,
it's just, like, over
like
the top.
I like being scared in movies, so. Well, maybe I've just seen this too many times.
There are jump scares.
Yes.
There's the skeleton. I mean, again, like,
yeah.
it's more family friendly. Like, it's not an actual horror movie. It's like a
it.
Horror movie you can watch on TV. You know what I mean? Right, right. Which I think is just, like, something weird about Jurassic Park going forward of it being, like, a family-oriented franchise, kind of. But I feel like it's a pretty good one of those. You know what I mean? Like, if I was going to, like, introduce somebody to horror that doesn't really like it that much, I feel like this has all of the things you expect to see. Like, the scene where you think it's just a velociraptor head in a jar, but no, it's real, it moves then attacks you, or like, oh, it's gonna get us through the cage, but then we push the door and now it's trapped behind the cage, is like,
yeah,
you know, it's good stuff. It's like ridiculous, right? Like, it's not realistic, but it is like fun movie
yeah.
chase stuff happening,
because I'm trying to remember what some of the original scripts
so I
were. Yeah, it's so short.
It's also short
for this before they really have,
which I think helps.
Because I think at some point there's just like early concept sketches, and it's like a guy, like half man, half dinosaur thing. So this could have been much worse. Like a guy with like a dinosaur arm or something.
Oh
weird,
yeah,
genetic,
uh-huh.
humanoid hybrid. No,
oh
that'd
my
be
God.
Crazy. So
that would be sick.
It could have been that. So it ended up being much smaller scale and stakes than any of the other ones. But I guess because of that, there's like, you know, like not as much expectation that it'd be.
But this also like presents the most, like it makes sense that you could make a franchise off of this movie
oh,
than
like
it does
continue.
Off of two. You know what I mean?
Because they made books about this somehow. I need to read those now.
Because like, well, I'm just saying like, Jurassic Park 3 is like, okay, what if like three, like I, like people accidentally get stuck there because they were like doing illegal recreation activities and then another group of people go in to save them, right? Like that's small. It doesn't involve the founder of InGen, right? It doesn't involve all of these super important people. You know, we have like Dr. Grant's here, but Dr. Grant's just here because we need a character that you guys know. Yeah. He doesn't really have to be here. It could be somebody else, right? And it would still work. This is like, I could see how you could, if this was popular, you could pump out like one of these every year. You know what I mean? Like with like some different scenario as to why you're going to Dinosaur Island. Vibes.
Are we going to cover Camp Cretaceous, you think, ever? Or no? We're going to get through the movies and it's maybe someday.
We can. So the thing is, like, if we look at the franchise of Jurassic Park, if we ignore the novels, which I don't know.
Both.
I guess we can read some of them. Yeah. Like, I mean, if we don't read these Jurassic Park Adventure spinoff novels.
World.
This is the last thing that comes out before World, because World comes out in 2015. The TV shows Lego Jurassic World stuff happens in 2018.
Camp Cretaceous.
Then there's Jurassic World Chaos Camp Cretaceous. That's in 2022. Or that's in 2020. And then you have Chaos Theory, which is 2024. So like you don't get any of that stuff until well into reboot time.
Yep.
So we could.
Yep.
We're still in chronological order.
Yeah, that's JP3. We ignore the books. We'll see. Because June is when Rebirth comes out, so we need to watch the other three movies before. So hopefully we can try and that's next month, JK. We would have to do these very quickly. But
we may not get through all of them, but you know. We can always record in whatever order, just release them whenever. Yep.
Okay. That's our coverage of Jurassic Park 3. Let us know what you thought of it, how you feel about it. What's your tier maker, whatever, for Jurassic Park movies?
Oh.
Uh-huh. 1, 2, 3.
Should we give our ordering right now?
1, 3, 2. Yep. So we're having diverging ratings, yes.
Only slightly. You're
complicated with...
Here's the thing, is that from here on out,
we're in
reboot territory, and I didn't like Jurassic World that much, and I feel like we're just gonna, like, I don't know if any of these are gonna be good. So I'm gonna be interested to see how we like these. Yeah. I'm interested to see how the reboot movies fall in our tier list.
Maybe yours isn't gonna change, like your top three aren't gonna change, but I don't like Jurassic Park so much, or Jurassic Park 3 I don't like, so mine's gonna change a bit. But yeah, okay. Well, do we do a what did we learn with bonus episodes? I don't remember.
From Jurassic Park? Yeah, sure, we can. What did we learn from Jurassic Park 3? Always vet your employer.
If you fell for something and it ended tragically first time, don't expect different results. That's what insanity is. Trying the same thing and expecting something different.
Okay, but it was different. The thing is, there were different results.
Money incentive to go with this rich person. People die. Somehow you survive. And then you make the same mistake.
Listen, that's just who Dr. Grant is. Dr. Grant will always take the money.
Donate to paleontological research. Yep. Yep. Okay, well.
Yep.
Jurassic World.
All right, well, next time, Jurassic
World.
Where
it becomes about people and not dinosaurs.
It's time for Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs.
Okay. Well, thanks you guys for listening.
Yep.
And we'll catch you next time.
Fear in my heart.
Bye.
Yep. Next time on our Jurassic Park watch through.
Yay.
That's not Shoujo related. Yay.
I'm like Chihaya, where it's like we're just going along with what I want for some reason. But it makes no sense.
I'm gonna make us do some kind of like bonus episode series that's like stuff I like, but I don't know what that would be.
Are we done? Park. Oh yeah. Do you do the intro since? Is that right on these?
That's right.
Yep.
Yes.
Ah, your turn.
I don't remember what I say in any of these intros, to be honest. I think I just make it up every single time. But whatever.
Hey,
okay,
guys,
here we go.
Joe here.